Good evening or good afternoon. I'm used to saying evening. This is Hank Jones. You are on Hank Jones Poly Sports, part of Blog Talk Radio's Global Patriot Radio Network. Every Wednesday. Absolutely. Today is Wednesday, December the 2nd, 2020. God, we're in December. Oh my God. This is amazing, isn't it? Freaking December. Hey, if you want to interact with me, you can call the show 319-527-6706. You can always email me, hjpsports1980@gmail.com. Go to Twitter, @hpolysports. What the heck, tweet. I usually answer. It's usually not anything good. I mean, it's usually snarky, but that's me. I'm on Facebook. Just type in Hank Jones Poly Sports. They'll find me somehow. It always does. No, I haven't made the move to Parler. I'm not on TikTok or any of those other things. That's not me. I'm a little behind the times. Hey, I still wish I had a BlackBerry. Anybody remember those? God damn, those were great phones. And first of all, they weren't great phones per se, except they were great for privacy. The BlackBerry Messenger app was actually private. That's probably why President Obama wanted to keep his BlackBerry so he could do crap nobody could track. But also, even though it had the trackball that always stopped working, they had the great games loaded on it. Word Find, Brick Break, man, Breakout, I think it was called. I literally would just turn my phone aside and just let the thing work for me. I'd have games where I'm like up to 1.5 million, and then my phone would do a reset for whatever reason. But I mean, it was awesome. So yeah, I still want a BlackBerry. That's why I'm a little behind on all that stuff. Like I said, hey, there's other shows on Global Patriot Radio. As they always say, 7 shows, 7 days, but 8 hosts. Yeah, that's right, because a couple of shows have 2 hosts, while 1 host actually handles 2 different shows. So every Monday, Vito and Al, the Vito Esposito Show featuring Big Al, Mama Mia No Sharia, every Monday at 6. Great stuff. Vito, I thought I was rant master. Vito has taken that ball and just, whew, as Daniel-san said in Karate Kid, he beat his act. Vito's done it. Tuesdays, Eric with Radio Free Kafiristan. Great stuff. Great, absolutely great stuff. It's you have to be willing to learn. You have to be willing to ask questions. You have to be willing to Google stuff, because he's got some stuff that, you know, the mainstream media certainly doesn't talk about, and your pastor probably doesn't talk about in church, or your rabbi may not even talk about in temple. Wednesdays, of course, me, Hank Jones. Thursdays, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. Again, another one where you really need to be on top of your game. If you don't understand something that some of these guys are talking about, you need to be willing to ask questions and need to be willing to get on Google with a different window or whatever to get caught up to speed. It's well worth it, trust me. Fridays, Islam in Focus, a.k.a. Conservative Casual Friday, Andrew Herod. He goes around the lunch hour. One of the odder, you know, most of the shows are like at between 5 and 6, maybe 7. Andrew goes early on Fridays. Saturday nights, that's a late one, 10 o'clock. Minister Usama Dakduk and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. Paul's actually part of that one too, Paul Sutliff. I think he was the board on that one, sort of manages that for Usama. Because frankly, Usama is so beyond anything that most of us know. I mean, his understanding of Islam, first of all, but just his depth of understanding, it's really amazing. And so you have to really, again, be listening, be willing to ask questions. But the good thing about that, it's 10 o'clock on Saturday night. Now you're thinking, at my age, you're thinking, hey, go to sleep. Here's the beauty. You don't have to watch Pac-12 football, you know? I mean, you can actually say, I have no reason to watch Big 12 football. And there really shouldn't be a reason anyway. Sundays, Eric is back with Real Interfaith Dialogue. Now, that one, you have to get an app. He doesn't let you just come in willy-nilly. Some of the chat rooms on here, like I said, you know, the other thing I forgot to mention, you can get in the chat room in Blog Talk Radio. But if you get if you try to get to Eric's show, you can't do that because some of our chats can get Vito's. The other night, Brother Warren was going off and even got a little offensive to one of our chatters. He didn't mean to, I don't think, but he did anyway. And so Eric can't. The nature of that show, it's opening dialogue with multiple faiths. So yeah, you got to download an app to be able to do that. You can't just call in or just log in. No, not gonna work. Okay, what's the latest on the election? Okay, frankly, I'm going to tell you this. The best thing to do versus coming in here and listening to Hank Jones, go to theepictimes.com, www.theepictimes, E-P-O-C-H, not E-P-I-C, E-P-O-C-H, theepictimes.com. They're literally almost in real time. They've got the breaking stuff, and they'll tell you stuff. You're not going to hear this in the media, so... If you want to know what's going on, go to the Epic Times. For instance, you've seen everybody reporting, oh, Barr says there's nothing. That's not what he said. He did say thus far. He said thus far. He didn't say that they've stopped investigating. He didn't say that they're not going to keep investigating. He didn't say that at all. He said they're not done investigating. Yahoo News, AP, CNN, yeah, they kind of missed that part. No, they didn't miss it. They intentionally left it out of their story. And again, it's part of that pattern I've talked about. The reason they're doing some of these is to create some expectation, create illusion, create perception. But yeah, go to the Epic Times. That gets you the actual stuff. You'll hear what's going on in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona. For instance, you're not hearing this anywhere except from places like the Epic Times. You're not even hearing it on Fox News. Georgia, there's a Stop the Steal rally that's going on. But did you know... They're also investigating Georgia, not the election fraud. They're actually investigating three different groups that are trying to meddle in the Georgia election. As you can guess, they're groups that are, you know, people that are trying to get new voters, trying to get, you know, telling people to move there. Here's another thing you brought that here. Georgia wanted to wipe all their election machines, reset them. The judge blocked it, then unblocked it. But yeah, Georgia won. Now, can you imagine any place else? Can you imagine if this had happened in 2016, if they said, oh, we want to wipe our voting machines? The left would have been absolutely screaming. Screaming. Something else you won't hear. Oh, you'll hear part of it. Joe Biden evidently injured his ankle while playing with his dog, according to his campaign. Believe that. That's what we're down to. I mean, if he becomes president, that's the least of the crap we'll hear. I got news for you. Yeah, he hurt his ankle while playing with his dog. First of all, my dog has way too much respect for me to let that happen. Second of all, my dog's way too cool. My dog wouldn't play with Joe Biden. My dog is a little smarter than that. But yeah, you're going to hear that. You're not going to see that in your mainstream media. You're not going to see that on Yahoo.com or on Facebook Live feed. Go to theepictimes.com. Yeah, Arizona lawmakers are calling for a resolution to hold back their Electoral College vote. Have you seen that on CNN? No. Have you seen that on ABC News? No. AP? No. You haven't, of course. So yeah, that's where I'd go right now. For don't come here and listen to me because I'm you know it's going to devolve into a rant. And we got some recent, you know, I hate doing this. I feel like I'm giving a death notice. There's some recent deaths though. A couple today and one yesterday. Former pro wrestler, WWE official, whatever official actually means in the world of pro wrestling, obviously. Pat Patterson passed away today in Miami. He was 78. The cause was listed as cancer. He was born Pierre Clément in Montreal in 1941, or as my brother would say, Montreal. He was one of the first, if not the first, openly gay wrestlers in that particular world of sports entertainment. Yeah, he pretty much became a caricature after 2000. he'd do these stooges. He was one of the quote stooges in the Mr. McMahon era. But he did, you know, even though he retired, he was basically essential in the creative and booking side. So he had passed away this morning at age 78. Heartbreaking news. Also from this morning, Dr. Walter E. Williams. He was an economist, commentator, writer, oftentimes a guest host for shows for hosts like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity. He passed away at the age of 84. No cause given, and it's not clear whether it was today or yesterday. He was a stalwart conservative, but he professed to being a college-age radical until he was challenged to look deeper by friends and mentors. One of his mentors and friends was the great Dr. Thomas Sowell. That was a friendship that began at UCLA when Dr. Sowell arrived there as a professor in 1969, while Dr. Walter Williams was working on one of his several graduate-level degrees. He also said he was influenced by other free market advocates, Armin Alcyon, Jim Buchanan, Axel Lejeune-Fahoud. He was an astute commentator. He was a great observer of the hypocritical left and left media complex. Very engaging man. He explained things for the average guy, but he could debate and discuss with the best and the brightest. He could do this, by the way, because Walter Williams was himself among the best and the brightest. Personally, he personified, for me, the idea that in a household where one or more occupants don't want to take the time to educate themselves about world issues or voting issues, then the leader gets those votes de facto. He freely bragged. He said, "Oh, I vote three times. I cast my vote, and I also fill out the sample ballots for my wife and my daughter." Now, let's just say I took that to heart while our daughter still lived with us here at Hank Haven, and I continued casting two votes today, mine and Mrs. Hank's. No, people, I'm not talking about ballot harvesting. I'm not talking about election fraud. I'm talking about telling my wife how to vote, and if she doesn't want to take the time to fill out the absentee ballot, I, being the chivalrous guy that I am, I make the chivalrous gesture. I do it for her. But yeah, Dr. Williams was who I first really heard talk about that openly. He said, "Yeah, I vote three times. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I'm not doing anything illegal. But yeah, I vote for three times. They don't want to do it. I will." So great man. Rest in peace. Finally, another American hero, long jump gold medalist Arnie Robinson. He passed away yesterday at 72. He'd been battling brain cancer since 2005. He won several NCAA and AAU long jump titles. That was before it became the Athletics Congress, and now it's just USA Track. He competed in the triple jump and high jump as well. Going into 1972, the Munich Olympics, he was the favorite, and he lost to fellow American Randy Williams. Williams sort of caught lightning in a bottle during that meet at the Olympics. He actually set the world junior record. But Arnie Robinson came back in 1976. He took gold at Montreal with a career best 27.4¾, which at that time, other than like Bob Beamon's, you know, most guys weren't going 28 feet. It was before Carl Lewis, several years before Carl Lewis, at which point 28 feet became semi-regular. So yeah, rest in peace. Three icons in their fields of endeavor. Hey, I want to welcome I think Brother Tommy or sister-in-law is on the phones listening. And Indy Hawk, who I believe is a buddy from college, and T. Bodie, also a buddy from college, they're in the chat. So get in here, chat with these guys. They would respond. I'm telling you. I am telling you. Okay, politics news. Whew. It's been misinterpreted by both sides, frankly. The Supreme Court ruled against the executive order by New York Governor Comrade Cuomo with regard to his limits on the size of religious gatherings. Now, look, people are saying the 5-4 decision. Wow, how odd. Actually, the prevailing opinion of those dissenting, including Chief Justice or Chief Joke John Roberts, was not so much that they were in favor of what Governor Cuomo did. It was their feeling was that there was really no need for an opinion at this time, as the organizations that were filing for relief were no longer in red or orange zones as designated by the state of New York. So yeah, people are saying, oh, even John Roberts, even that. No, it really wasn't that. It was more a feeling of they don't need a ruling at this time because there's nothing pressing. That's what was written in the, but no, they made it sound like, oh, we had a couple people that were willing to stand up. No, it wasn't that at all. It was really pretty much nothing more than an issue of no need. That was it. Okay, they also put together, Epoch Times put together a really interesting infographic of just how thoroughly and egregiously President Trump has been attacked during his campaign, during his first term. It's fascinating, I say. Like I said, theepochtimes.com, EPOCHtimes.com. Now, for you leftist folks that might be listening, epic, we don't mean like epic, man, it's epic. Like you say, everything you guys do, epic. No. Epic is to mark the beginning or key point of an era of history. So, yeah, they talk about post-election push, pressuring Donald Trump to concede. It's of course, despite numerous credible allegations. But so they did a thing on the four-year-long campaign against Trump. And they literally talk about everything, politically motivated investigation. Some of this stuff, of course, didn't come to light until recently, like the fact that being investigated during his campaign by both his opponent, Hillary Rotten Clinton, and her boss or former boss, Barack Hussein Obama. They talk about the media, the Comey stuff. You know, everybody thinks that Comey was just the biggest investigator. No, Comey walked in there into his office and tried to pressure him with that stupid golden shower story. They figured he would bite because they were just sick enough to think that that people do that anyway. Literally. They said, you know, we know about the golden showers where President Obama slept. He's like, are you nuts? It didn't happen, number one. And number two, what kind of sick bastards are you? But yeah, that numerous leaks from inside. Now, everybody says his own people are turning on him. No, it's the deep state people that were turning. They literally laid out a calendar of it. The permanent government, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, foreign interference. Oh, yeah, they got T. Boney and Indy Hawk are talking about what did the Bears play? That was a joke in college. We used to talk about I'd sometimes crash over at what was called the doghouse. I'd crash there on a Saturday night and then watch the Bears on Sunday. Don't know when the Bears play this week. Yeah, the Steelers and the Ravens are going. Whoever thought, like, during Hank Jones Polysports that a game would be going, an NFL game would be going on. I'm not talking about like a bowl game in December. I'm talking about an actual NFL game. That thing got rescheduled from last Thursday, Thanksgiving night, to Sunday, to Tuesday, to today because of all the COVID stuff. Record for autobiographies, Indy Hawk asks. Do they keep a stat? Obama at 3. That's a tough one. 3. I don't know. Probably. I wonder how many times, if he doesn't have the record for number of autobiographies, he certainly has the record for the use of the terms me and or I. I'm not even going to, there's no reason to look that up. We know that's in there. Yeah, they also talk about, of course, the impeachment, the COVID stuff. A lot of the manufactured stuff where they talk about, you know, police killings, you know, that were some of them which happened, you know, totally tangential to everything that was going on. So, yeah, so they talk with the politically motivated investigation, the Trump-Russia shadow, the FBI under Comey and McCabe, media, impeachment, the virus. They call it the CCP virus. Chinese Communist Party virus. I call it just Red China virus. Red China. That's what my mom called it when we were kids. Red China. Foreign interference. Not just China. People always think about China, but Ukraine, Russia. Everybody thinks that, oh, they're all for Trump. No. Black Lives Matter, Antifa. permanent government, as they put it, which is another way of saying deep state. But they're right. It's not just deep state. It's permanent government. The Robert Mueller special counsel, the leaks, all the various leaks, the election fraud this year, the manufactured narratives. I mean, you know, like talking about Charlottesville a few years ago, where they said he defended neo-Nazis. He did not, of course. But they, I mean, yeah, taking things out of context, nobody's done it more than our mainstream media. Not even debatable. Not even debatable. In a long overdue move, it was overdue because the judge handling the case, Emmett Sullivan, continued not to act on the Department of Justice's recommendation to drop the case. President Trump has pardoned, of course, his original national security advisor, retired three-star General Michael Flynn. I know that's not news per se, but I wanted to bring it up because it's, can you believe a judge that would get a recommendation who then asked for quote-unquote independent investigation? What the hell is it? It wasn't an independent investigation. How is that judge still on the bench? How? I mean, if it were the other way, if it were Obama pardoning someone and a judge just sat on it, God. Well, we know what would happen. He'd have marchers come into his house, knocking on his chambers, all that. That's how the left plays. Unbelievable. Denver Mayor Michael Hancock. Yeah, he apologized for his travel to visit his family. When did he do this? Mere hours after he had first told the Denver area residents not to travel for the Thanksgiving holiday. And then, guess what he did? He traveled for the Thanksgiving holiday. Unfrigging believable. Why do they, I mean, these guys apologize, or girls, like in the case of Pelosi, I don't know if that's a girl, but it's not a male. They literally break these rules, and then they come back and they make it like a blame game. Like, well, because all you simple people, all you ham and eggers, I've spent so much time making sure you don't do anything that I gotta do it anyway. I mean, it's absolutely mind-boggling. Now, this jack wagon headed off to, I think, to Houston or New Orleans. His daughter was living there, and she couldn't come to visit them for Thanksgiving, so they went to visit. First his wife flew, and then he flew. It's really kind of repulsive. I mean, it's just another one. I mean, it's not even like it's, I mean, these things are becoming like daily. How do they do it? I mean, how can you do, how can you sit there and go and make an official announcement or an executive order or whatever kind of mandate, depending on where you are? In freaking Denver, it's probably now, you know, I mean, you could probably just call it, you know, what it is, the Supreme Soviet or whatever. Literally telling people not to travel. And then he apologized. Why does he apologize? Was it, what, why do it that way? Why not just come right out and say, it doesn't apply to me? It does, okay, folks, it doesn't apply to me. They can't even be honest about that. They actually have the unmitigated gall to act like they are for the people. And I'm just so sorry that I couldn't. Unfriggin' believable. Oh, by the way, Gruesome Newsom, you know that little party he went to at the French Laundry or restaurant or winery restaurant or whatever, which is like the most or one of the most expensive restaurants in the country? The bar tab. Yeah, remember how he was conflicted? He wasn't sure he should stay. The bar tab per person for that little gathering, the bar tab per person, $189. Per person. That, I mean, there were like 20 people there, or between 12 and 20. Not, I mean, 600, if I were with 20 people and the bar tab was $689, I'd have a stroke. This is per person. Per person. Yeah, he's just a regular guy like you and me. Do you realize for $689 for me alone, not a bar tab with a group, for $689 for me alone, I could literally drink for a year and a half. Indy Hawk points out that's a lot of beers at the sports column in Iowa City. Yeah, especially at the time we were there, $689 would have been a week's worth. That's probably their weekly revenue. Well, no, even back then, probably a lot more. But $689 would have been a strong happy hour for them. Let's put it that way. $689 for one person. You know how I know this, by the way? That I could, years ago, my mom, before she passed away, we had our last Thanksgiving for her here at our house at Electric Hank Land, or Hank Haven is the residential portion. Mrs. Hank and I hosted, and my sister, my rich sister, I just say it like that. She's very generous, by the way. It's not a matter of, my very generous sister went out and bought a ton of booze for this gathering. Now, I actually, me and Mrs. Hank bought a keg, figuring the younger group would drink beer. So I bought a keg of Yingling. By the way, we were drinking on that thing for a week. I took it to a party the next night with all my nephews and nieces and sisters. We didn't finish it then. I was literally drinking on it for like 4 days later at the house, and it took a while. I definitely didn't finish it. Anyway, my sister bought about 450, I think it was, $480 worth of booze. Top shelf stuff, too. Good tequilas, good scotches, bourbons, blah, blah, blah. She left it all here at the house at Hank Haven. We would occasionally have a bourbon and Coke or even a bourbon on the rocks or whatever. That stuff was around over a year later, Thanksgiving of 2009, and we didn't finish that stuff until 2011. Yeah, no lie. That stuff didn't get finished till 2011. That's with a daughter in college coming back and forth on occasion. I don't even know if she knew where the stuff was, but yeah, 2011, that stuff finally got finished. So when I hear $689 bar tab per person, and Gruesome Nuisance says he was conflicted, no, he wasn't. At $689, first of all, what were they doing? I mean, were they literally just like dropping, here's another bottle of Cristal or whatever, and dropping it? And then say, bring me another? Ha, ha, ha. I mean, $689 per person? I don't care what you're drinking. Okay. 2016 Chateau Petrus, which is pretty much the most expensive wine that you can just buy off the shelf. I think that's $1,600 at Total Wine. It might be $1,200. So that's two people worth, splitting a bottle of Petrus, so to speak. But this was a bar tab. And this is, say, 20 people, $689 per person. And we're supposed to believe that this guy was conflicted and didn't think he should stay. Got news for you, folks. If me and T. Bodie and Indy Hawk are back at the sports column and they say, guys, you got a $689 credit, the last thing I'm going to say is, hey, Indy Hawk, could you make sure you get a mask on, dude? Yeah, right, sure. Conflicted. What an ass. Speaking of masks, Dr. Falsely actually said this as part of his keep wearing the mask even after we have the vaccine propaganda speech. This is what he said. If you're fighting a battle and the cavalry is on the way, you don't stop shooting. You keep going until the cavalry gets here, and then you might even want to continue fighting. Seriously, seriously? To wit, this guy said we don't need to alter our behavior back on February 29th. Then he said we didn't need masks. Then he said everybody stay indoors. Then he said keep the kids home from school. Then he said open the economy. And he said shut down the economy, but send the kids back to school. But keep bars and churches closed. And now this. Anybody see the extension of the pattern I talked about last week? See here, kids, here's what he wants. He wants to keep rational thinking, analytical people apart. You know, you and me, T. Bodie, Brother Tommy, Andy Hawk. He wants to keep us apart. He doesn't want us congregating and talking, just like the left doesn't. Why? Because they know what could happen. They know if people get together and people start to add stuff up, it's not going to add up. It doesn't add up. Now, again, before people start, I am not saying COVID is not real. I am not saying don't take precautions. I'm not saying any. I'm saying, though, when he says we need to keep wearing masks even after the vaccine. Yeah, this kids, little kids are always ripe for propaganda indoctrination. Remember, in Seattle, they were opening every morning of virtual learning with, this is our moment where we acknowledge that we are here on stolen land. Kindergartners, five-year-olds, that's how they were opening the day. By the way, another clown said shedding masks before 75% of people are vaccinated just further kicks the can down the road. Yeah, they ought to know. These idiots have been kicking the can down the road since last March. Nothing stops herd immunity faster than separating and isolating the herd. They are also saying that vaccines may not be 100% effective right away. Yeah, let's remember that next time kids are being vaccinated for school attendance, for stuff like mumps, measles, chickenpox, polio, tetanus, whatever. In other words, it's hogwash. Look, like I said, while COVID-19 is a real thing, the handling of it is decidedly manufactured. And there better be, literally, there better be hell to pay for it. Look, we need to refuse any further closings. We need to refuse to stay at home. We need to refuse to let those giving the mandates get off the hook when they break those mandates. Especially, we need to take down the media that covers for them, distorts information, flat out lies, and doesn't acknowledge an agenda. Go after them. Look, if it means breaking up tech giants, fine. I mean, geez, we broke up AT&T. We went after Microsoft back in the 1990s. So I'm not sure why Facebook, Amazon, and Google are allowed to continue in their present form. Look, I'm not anti any of them. I mean, I'm anti their views, but I'm not anti their right. But frankly, we need to shut down any media outlet that manipulates information on behalf of one candidate by lying about the opposition candidate or running interference for the candidate they endorse. I'm not talking about stuff like First Amendment, because that's not the First Amendment. When you sit there and say, hey, the First Amendment, no, it does not. When you can show me in the First Amendment where it says lying, willful manipulation, willful misinformation, when you can show me where that's protected all day long. You know, I've had those jokers. They'll say stuff like, when I've done like Second Amendment stuff on Facebook, you know, you get that, those clowns that come in and say, you know, the Second Amendment was written, we were still shooting with muskets. Yeah, dude, when the First Amendment was written, you probably never even had access to pen and paper. Only the very elite had access, ready access to pen and paper, or quill and ink and paper, or parchment, as they called it back then. So, yeah, when we start hearing the First Amendment, look, if they think that there are codicils to the Second Amendment, but then they're damn right are codicils to the First. As Indy Hawk says, we're supposed to believe the science. Good news, massive reduction in flu deaths, pneumonia deaths, and heart disease deaths since they've all been tagged as COVID. Yeah, exactly. What's the meme you see? The guy that jumps off a cliff, man falls to death, man falls from cliff due to COVID death. Just so everyone knows, I'm not getting the damn vaccine. If all of you do and you start looking like those pig-faced people on that Twilight Zone episode, don't say I didn't give you at least an inkling. Seriously? Okay, the faces may resemble pigs. I get it. The vocalizations probably won't. Vocalizations will probably not be pigs. Let's just say that. Why do I say that? Well, let's just say this. Like I said, we'll look like pigs. If you see that Twilight Zone episode where the lady's getting surgery, and they come back and she's gorgeous, and then they say, well, it turns out she They all look like pigs. That's what we'll hear. We may look like those pig-faced people, but the sound will be the sheep. Oh, Dr. Falsify? I keep forgetting what his new name is. Dr. Falsify says it won't be until next year, mid to late summer, before we can go back to, quote, packed stadiums and arenas. Does this dude not get that 25% of any sports stadium is about 12,000 more people that showed up for any Biden event? Biden will be around next summer anyway, so maybe I'm jumping ahead a bit. Speaking of which, assuming Biden was to actually make it to inauguration, how soon before he is out and Michelle Obama is the next vice president? Yeah, check back here next week for the weekly betting line on that one, folks. A Hong Kong pro-democracy activist, Joshua Wong, Ivan Lam, and Agnes Chow were taken into custody last week after pleading guilty to leading and inciting unauthorized protests outside of police headquarters in June 2019. Actually, the hearing and the sentencing was scheduled for today. I had not seen anything on what the result was, but while they all have dim hopes of going free, they understand their stance and the guilty pleas are really part of a bigger picture, they said. Meanwhile, in the U.S., defending your property gets you arrested, or at least in St. Louis it does. Can you imagine even one single BLM or Antifa protester having the balls to do what they do in a place like Red China or North Korea or Russia? For that matter, only in America can a pro-democracy protester be criticized by a jackwagon like LeJuan James or some other NBA puppet. For the latest in the don't ask where I am or what I'm doing, but ... department. Yeah, Austin, Texas Mayor Steve Adler took to Facebook Live back on November 9th. Why? To tell his public to, quote, stay home if you can. This is not the time to relax. What he neglected to disclose is that he was at a timeshare in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Yes, the same Mexico, by the way, being put on the CDC's avoid like the plague list. Yeah, he flew down there in a private jet with 8 family members plus guests. Yeah, this was shortly after hosting his daughter's wedding at the swanky South Congress Hotel with over 20 guests. Yeah, thank God he consulted health authorities and required temperature checks and social distancing. Some leftist idiot on Twitter actually said, when government officials fail to adhere to their own COVID restrictions, they just feed the beliefs of the Trumpists. What does this moron not understand? Oh, forget it. I'll just tell you. What this moron fails to understand is it has nothing to do with Trumpists and everything to do with responsibility, accountability, and, of course, elitist scumbags and or control freaks who can't bear the idea of people being free to choose their own path, take responsibility for their own lives, hold people to the idea that privilege isn't an elected position. It's an earned position. For example, okay, here's an example. Bill Gates has absolutely earned the right to create and fund a charity. He's earned that. Hell, even Mark Cuban has earned the chance to be on a show like Shark Tank. Billy Graham earned the respect and the credibility to want to lead people to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Absolutely, all that. No argument. But here's what. Bill Gates didn't have the right to force a vaccine on anyone. Mark Cuban has no business ignoring Joe Biden's past when discussing or comparing the past of presidential candidates and their business expertise. When he sanitizes Biden to say he's the most qualified, he has no business doing that. And Billy Graham would not have had any right to know if or when you were sitting or what you were doing any more than anyone else. That wasn't his job. He didn't have that right. But he had earned the right to want to lead people to Christ. He earned the credibility. So, yeah, these COVID crazies, they're just really pissing me off. They really are. I'm going to take a quick break because I really am hacked off. I'm going to play a quick song for you, though. I think you're going to like this one. This one's actually pretty good. It's the Sal Soul Orchestra. It's a little Christmas ditty that they did back in the 70s. Play it. I'll come back with some sports stuff. Be right back.
Christmas time is here.
Awesome song, I got to admit. My even brother Tommy said it, and Hawkeye Mike piped in on the text, said, yeah, that's a great song. It is. It's an awesome song. It's from the 1970s Sal Soul Orchestra. It's called Merry Christmas All. It never got any normal airplay. When you listen to like iHeartRadio and those other ones that are doing their Christmas All, they're playing that, you know, the usual garbage. Not all of it, but a lot of it is. You never hear good songs like that, though, back in the 70s, though. So. But yes, the Sal Soul Orchestra. Remember they had that song Tangerine? It was a very up-tempo version of a classic. It sucked. I mean, it was probably okay back then. I probably liked it. But I mean, now you're thinking it's pap. Rubbish, as they say on Spinal Tap. But yeah, the Sal Soul Orchestra. Oh, here's something real. You know how we've been talking about how the Charlie Brown specials were relegated for a while to Apple TV, and then they showed them on PBS. So we stream in our household, and one of the live things, streams we have, you can watch, you know, live TV. You can also DVR stuff. So Rudolph was on last night, you know, the annual Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer. So I DVR'd it on our streaming service. CBS, which showed it live, doesn't allow you to do that. It doesn't allow you to stream like that. And in fact, doesn't allow live streaming of the show, only like on cable or on broadcast. So I recorded it, and all it was an hour of this graphic saying, this show is not allowed for streaming. It hacks me off. First of all, it's an awesome Christmas special. It's the claymation stuff. It's the first of the claymation style ones that they did, that Rankin and Bass did. But yeah, I mean, can you believe that? Oh, at least I still got to Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I've already watched Frosty. So, yeah, I try to get all those in every year. But yeah, that just sucks. Totally sucks. Hey, let's get to some sports news. Iowa Hawkeye wide receiver Amir Smith-Marset. Remember I talked about he screwed up after the Northwestern game. Got a DUI going 74 in a 30-mile-an-hour zone or whatever. You know what, though? He didn't let it ruin his career. He got back to work. And here's actually a pretty nice little short article from the AP Sports Illustrated. AP owns Sports Illustrated. That's why Sports Illustrated's gone downhill. It's titled, Number 24 Iowa's Smith-Marset Rebuilds Trust After His Arrest. Amir Smith-Marset knew he messed up when Iowa City police pulled him over after clocking him driving 74 miles per hour in a 30-mile-per-hour zone in the wee hours of November 1st. He said, I was thinking my football career was probably done, the Iowa receiver said. Smith-Marset's blood alcohol content measured 0.130, well over the 0.08 legal limit. And he was arrested and charged with operating while intoxicated. His career was not over. In fact, Coach Kirk Ferentz offered support, putting out a statement hours later saying the arrest was out of character and that Smith-Marset was a great teammate. It's something he did, and it's a bad decision, Ferentz said. It's like all of us in life. You make a bad decision, you have to live with it. Smith-Marset was suspended for one game, the 49-7 win over Michigan State on November 7th. That whole week, I was just coming back in, working hard, trying to earn the trust of my teammates again, Smith-Marset said. I let them know that mistakes happen, and that I'm here to do everything I can to show them that I'm with them 100%. Smith-Marset said his family gave him a shoulder to lean on, and Ferentz, offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz, and wide receivers coach Kelton Copeland also reassured him of their support. They also told him his actions weren't acceptable. They just let me know they still support me no matter what, they're there for me, and that we've got to put this behind us, Smith-Marset said. Mistakes happen. As long as it's a mistake and not something that you do again, which I won't be doing again. Trust me. Smith-Marset, who was back in the starting lineup, caught three passes for 44 yards in the number 24 Hawkeyes 26-20 win over Nebraska last week. For the season, the senior from Newark, New Jersey, has 14 catches for 173 yards and a touchdown. It's a noticeable dip from his 44-catch, 722-yard, 5-touchdown campaign in 2019. Part of the drop-off stems from the passing game producing less with new quarterback Spencer Petras. He said it was, I'll skip a little. He said he's not frustrated by the statistics. As he says, if it's working, why shy away from it? He said of the run game. When the deep ball comes, it'll come. Until then, we'll work with what's working. He still has NFL aspirations and wants to make it clear that he has grown from his mistake in November. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to prove to NFL teams that I'm ready to play at the next level. Grow up, mature a little bit more, and be ready to put my best foot forward, he said. That's probably a condensed version of the article. I don't know. But I just think it's nice that he's trying to come back from it. You know, a lot of guys would suck. And look, I'll talk about later what other guys are doing. But I really do think he's a good kid. He's owning his mistake. He's not whining about lower numbers after, you know, a really nice finish to last season. But I think really, to me, the most telling element is the fact Kirk Ferentz supported him after the incident. He emphasized that it was not only out of character, but that, you know, ISM has been and continues to be a great teammate. I say kudos to him, and let's hope the next month is awesome for him and for the team. I really hope he, you know, that the pass game gets going, because he's, you know, as a deep threat, he's that, and that opens up the run game. So, look, here's the kind of stuff ESPN is running these days. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a really good website, even with the virtue signaling and the left-leaning shtick. But here's a recent article title, literally. Here's the title. Coaching the TV. Inside Nick Saban's Iron Bowl from Home. Now, this is a result, obviously. Bama head coach Nick Saban testing positive, for real this time, we assume, for COVID-19 and not being on the sideline for their cakewalk over Auburn in their, quote, Iron Bowl. We get it. We get it, folks. We get it, ESPN. He wasn't on the sideline. But good God, they make it sound like it was a national emergency. Now, here's one snippet from the missus, Mrs. Saban, after listening to some of his Zoom calls with his staff and some of his motivational spiel. She actually said this. I actually got teary-eyed at one point and thought to myself, I'm ready to play. Seriously. Good God, if Mrs. Hank ever said or acted like that to me after a show, I think I'd puke. Look, I don't want my wife busting my nuggets on a daily basis. Nobody does. But neither do I want her acting like Joni Cunningham after watching the Fonz down at Arnold's. Seriously, you're really ready to say that, Mrs. Saban? You were ready to play? God. Speaking of girls playing football, we had just that. We had a female appear for the first time ever in a Power 5 football game last weekend. Sarah Fuller. She's normally the goalie on the Vanderbilt women's soccer team. She suited up as their kicker against Missouri. All the Vandy kickers were unavailable due to COVID protocols, so she was the Commodores kicker. Now, she became the third female to appear in a Division I game, and as I noted earlier, she was the first in a Power 5 game. She made an appearance for exactly one play. Vanderbilt lost 41-0 to Missouri. She performed the second-half kickoff, which was a designed squib that was downed by fair catch at the Missouri 35. For her effort, Sarah Fuller was named the SEC Special Teams Player of the Week. I already know what you're thinking. Yeah, it seems a little iffy. It seems like a bit of a participation trophy. Maybe not a little, you know, quite deserve the honor. I get it. I understand the thought, and I agree in part, but let's back off a bit. First, she may well see more action this week. None of Vanderbilt's specialists has returned to team activity. Second, they're playing Georgia. While this isn't, you know, this ain't Herschel Walker's Georgia, it's still Power 5 football against a top-level team. Third, she did this just 6 days, literally 6 days after playing in her last soccer game for the Vandy women's team, helped them to the SEC championship. And look, while she was kicking footballs at the football team's practice kicking facility last spring, she actually made a 45-yard field goal. That's impressive for any non-full-time kicker, male, female, trans, whatever. You know, that's not anything to sneer at. Finally, you know, in spite of it all, Vanderbilt coach Derek Mason was still relieved of duties the following day. No, it was not a response to her getting on the field. They were 0-8 this season, and they had a pretty dismal last couple seasons on top of that. But hey, look, here his parting words. Says it was his honor to, quote, coach hundreds of Vanderbilt young men and one courageous female. So, no, I don't think she's being paraded out as a showpiece or a gimmick or a joke. The team needs a kicker, and she's capable of being a credible alternative and a in a season of crazy. Frankly, rather than groan on about whether or not this season should have been played or how much emphasis is placed on sports, Sarah Foley just went out and added a men's sport less than a week after competing at the top level of her own team. And while many college players are quitting other teams in order to, quote, preserve their draft status or simply not willing to risk it to keep their team and teammates at their most competitive, she's got the guts to step up, and good for her. Katie Nida did not kick for Colorado. She kicked for Colorado State. That is not Power 5 football. T. Bodie points out that ND declining to play any more games. Actually not. The ACC actually did rescheduled it, which basically puts them in the ACC championship game to help them rest up. Other record time news, University of Buffalo running back Jarrett Patterson. He had a rather productive game last weekend against Kent State. He tied Big Ten Network's own Howard Griffith with 8 rushing TDs. Griffith said it while he was at Illinois, playing against a FCS directional. Well, I don't remember if it was Southern Illinois or Eastern. I think it was Southern. Yeah, Patterson also had 490 rushing yards. He got pulled when the team was in scoring range. If he had covered the remaining yards, he would have gotten the yardage record as well. TD record. Yardage record still stays at 427 by Oklahoma's Samaji Perine. And Perine, when he broke the record, had broken a record that was only a week old. Melvin Gordon had gone for 408 against Nebraska. Hawkeye Mike in the text that we got going, he's excited because the McRib is back. Mrs. Hank wants you to know that the Steelers are winning. Katie Hinata actually played for the New Mexico Lobos. When she scored, she played for Colorado, but it wasn't against a Power 5 team, evidently. So, just clarifying all this with T. Bodie. But anyway, yes, Melvin Gordon ran for 408 against Nebraska. Speaking of Nebraska, the Hawkeyes beat the Huskers last Friday, behind 111 yards from Tyler Goodson. A nice defensive stand to close it out. Chauncey Golston stripped the ball from Adrian Martinez, and Zach Van Valkenburg caught it as it was falling to the ground. Ho-hum, just 6 in a row over the Huskers for the Hawks. Michigan State finally beat Duke at Duke's Cameron Indoor Stadium. Somebody actually had the gall to say to Tom Izzo, does it really count since there were no fans? What the hell? Why are people asking that? Ugh. It's a win at Cameron. They still had to travel there. But yeah, I get it. I'm not a big Tom Izzo fan, so what the hell. Let's get to the football rankings. Let's get to the AP rankings first. Why don't we do that? Not sure they're any more or less relevant. Alabama, number 1, Notre Dame, 2, Clemson, 3, Ohio State, 4, Texas A&M, 5, waiting in the wings in case Ohio State gets bumped because of number of games. Florida's at 6, Cincinnati at 7, Georgia at 8 with 2 losses, Iowa State at 9 with 2 losses, Miami at 10, Oklahoma at 11, Indiana at 12, BYU undefeated at 13, Northwestern drops to 14, Oklahoma State at 15, Wisconsin at 16, North Carolina with 3 losses is at 17. I mean, yeah, they pretty much, it's going to be an act of Congress to get them out of the top 25. Coastal Carolina at 18, the Hawkeyes at 19. Actually, these are the playoff rankings, I'm sorry. Iowa at 19, USC at 20, Marshall at 21, also undefeated, Washington at 22, Oregon, despite a loss at 23. Tulsa at 24. And Louisiana, who beat number 9 Iowa State at 25. So, yeah, that's the CFP rankings. And it's, you know, it is what it is, I guess, you know. AP rankings are, you know, it's the media. The playoff rankings, they kind of, I mean, for the playoff rankings have Clemson 3. The AP has Ohio State 3. Other than that, they're pretty much Georgia's 11th in the AP. Cincinnati is still 7, but BYU is 8. Miami is 9. Indiana is 10. So, you know, there are some differences, obviously, but those are what our rankings are looking like. You know, the Hawks are moving up. That's the good news. Those two early losses, suck. They've also beat, by the way, Minnesota 6 in a row. So, Holder, if you're out there listening, 6 in a row against you guys, too. Yeah, 6 in a row against Minnesota and Nebraska. Would have been 6 in a row against Iowa State this year, too, probably. I know Iowa State's good, but coaches poll, now that one you don't even kind of. Actually, that's pretty similar to the 24 in the coaches poll, and they're 24 in the AP, but they're 19 in the playoffs, so who knows? I prefer the playoff rankings in this case. But that one has an asterisk because the chairman of the playoff committee is Ohio Athletic Director Gary Barta. In Oklahoma, Bob Stoops returned to the field to help them out. Yeah, Bob Stoops came back to help them out during a practice. Why? I have no idea. Evidently, they're down coaches, COVID and all that stuff. Contact tracing. So they he asked Stoops is working in the athletic department, so they had to come back for some practice coaching. He might be there for the next game as well. Said Stoops could be on the field coaching. Yeah, Andy Hawk makes a good point. We need more trophy games. We seem to thrive on those things. So, yeah, Bobby Stoops, never gonna come back. Well, he did. He coached in that XFL stuff this year, but he supposedly was retired for good. Tennessee has dismissed linebacker Kevon Bennett. Yeah, he's a junior from Fort Lauderdale. He led the Volunteers 7.5 tackles for loss, tied for the team lead with 4.5 sacks. He's the son of Cornelius Bennett, former NFL and Alabama linebacker. He had possession of a firearm during commission or attempt to commit a felony and possession of Schedule 6 drugs with intent. He was dismissed by the team. That's weird for Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee is normally not, you know, although they did dismiss Tyler Smith, the basketball guy, for a firearm. According to a report, he was pulled over for speeding near campus. Officer smelled marijuana. Bennett advised the officer that he had a handgun under his seat. They also found 44.9 grams of marijuana, a digital scale, storage bags, and a handgun. Yeah, I'd call that intent to distribute. Yeah, that'll get you, even at Tennessee, even at an SEC school, that'll get you terminated. Other Big Ten football news, Rashad Bateman, Minnesota wide receiver, has opted out. I think that coincides with a couple other things. Indiana quarterback Michael Penix Jr., sad, man. Guy was having a great season. He got injured against Maryland last Saturday, and it was really stupid. He was just going out of bounds, this incidental contact, right ACL injury. He's out for the year. He's been there 3 seasons, and he's had shortened seasons every one. Northwestern versus Minnesota is canceled this week. It does 2 things. Problem one, it's probably not a coincidence, given Bateman opted out. I mean, because they were down 20 people for their Purdue win, but they suck it up for Purdue, but they bag out of the Wisconsin and Northwestern games. I wouldn't care, except this gives Northwestern the de facto Big Ten West title. Now, I'm not saying Minnesota was going to beat them, but if Michigan State did, there's no reason that Minnesota couldn't. And then they would have gone to play Illinois. That was a long shot. And even in a three-way tie with Wisconsin and Iowa, Northwestern having victories over both Iowa and Wisconsin, you know, they're the, but if they lose, let's just pretend that they played and lost twice. You know, we'd have a shot, but now we have no shot. I just think that sucks. And I think that's partly why Rashad Bateman opted out. I think that's why they're canceling. That's the thing, you know, team. You have teams that are canceling, not even meeting protocols, but if they just feel like they shouldn't play. Florida State did it. I mean, teams are doing it now. The worry is that Michigan or Michigan State is going to do it. Now, Michigan State just played against Northwestern, so for them to opt now would be kind of fishy. But it would not be fishy for Michigan to opt out to hurt Ohio State's chances. Ohio State would be ineligible for the Big Ten championship game at this point. Now, if more games are canceled, maybe not. They would not, ironically, be ineligible for bowl games or even for the CFP. Now, here's a cool scenario. Ohio State ineligible for the Big Ten championship game. So Indiana plays Northwestern. Meanwhile, Iowa wins out, beats Wisconsin, and plays Ohio State on championship Saturday. Now, some people say, oh, that would suck because Ohio State would have something to prove trying to get in the playoff. They're still mad about what we did to them in 2017. First of all, that was a different coach. Urban Meyer's no longer the coach there, number one. Number two, it's a different team. Now, yeah, I would be a little worried Spencer Petras versus Nate Stanley. Look, Spencer Petras is not a good quarterback right now. I'm not saying he can't be. But right now, no, he's not as good as Nate Stanley was in 2017 even. Especially that game against Ohio State where Nate Stanley was pretty much invincible. But it would still be cool to get to play them on championship Saturday versus, you know, an Indiana without Michael Penix. Maryland would be okay, I guess, if Maryland hangs on. Because we've already beaten Michigan State. We've already beaten Penn State. And they're so down to the, you know, those two are so down. Michigan's so down. So, yeah. That would be cool. Rumors are that Matt Campbell from Iowa State is going to be the next coach at Michigan. I disagree with that one. There are a couple of tropes out there that people talk about. One trope that Steve Dace always talks about is the, we had a great bowl game, but we've got everybody back. That doesn't mean your next year is going to be great. You don't know what the rest of your conference has coming back. You know, your bowl game that you won may not have been all that great. Another trope is that a Michigan job, as an example, is irresistible to a Matt Campbell who's at Iowa State. First of all, the quality of life in Ames, Iowa, while not as cool as Iowa City, the quality of life in Ames, Iowa has got to be 50,000 times better than the quality of life in Ann Arbor, Michigan, number one. Number two, taking the Michigan job comes with expectations that are not at all commensurate with reality. Be taking a job, it would be similar to the Nebraska job, where the average Nebraska or Michigan fan looks in the mirror, and instead of seeing a program that hasn't been relevant for 10 to 20 plus years, they see the team that Bo Schembechler coached or Tom Osborne coached with 125 scholarship limits and felons on their team. That's the team they think they should have every year. That's what they see in the mirror. What Matt Campbell sees, rightfully, is a Michigan team that's 1-5 with a governor and a state, in terms of state leadership, that was not all that supportive of them playing football this year, following an ass clown like Jim Harbaugh. And people say, oh, you want to follow that, not a legend. No, you'd rather follow a legend who's not leaving everything bare. who knows what kind of shape Jim Harbaugh will leave that place in. So no, I don't think Michigan is all that attractive as a job versus Iowa State. And the two jobs he supposedly really wants, Notre Dame and Ohio State, those aren't coming to open anytime soon. So no, I don't think Matt Campbell to Michigan is a viable rumor. That's my personal feeling. Do I think Harbaugh's out? Probably. I think just right now, there's just too much has happened. I don't think Franklin's out at Penn State, but I think Harbaugh could be out at Michigan. Is Scott Frost out at Nebraska? Probably not. He should be, but he's not. That's what's happened. Now, we're texting here. Some of us are texting and talking about not fair if Wisconsin or if Northwestern were to be 5-2. Well, they haven't lost yet. They're still only one loss, number one. But number two, I really, you know, head-to-head, you can't – yes, I know it's winning percentage, but in the loss column we're equal. They had a cancellation. That was the rules as far as the no contest. I don't like it, but the rules are in place. So, yeah. So that's what's going on in the Big Ten. Several decommitments this week in college football recruiting. Now, some of them are pretty explainable. Five-star linebacker Terrence Lewis, he's number 10 overall prospect. He's decommitted from Tennessee. Originally took him over Florida, LSU, Alabama, Texas A&M, Penn State, and Nebraska. He actually previously committed to Florida in 2019. So, yeah, he's bagged on Tennessee. Florida State lost ESPN 300 quarterback Luke Altmyer. Said, due to unforeseen circumstances that have led to a very difficult recruiting process, I have decided to decommit from Florida State. Auburn had a decommitment, ESPN 300 running back Armoni Goodwin. Now he was pulling his pledge from the Tigers. He's now considering Alabama, Auburn, Florida State, Georgia, and LSU. ESPN 300 wide receiver Kyron Ware-Hudson slipped his commitment Monday from Oregon to USC. He's from California, so. And USC is making an effort to flip those their home staters. So, yeah, that's what's going on. That's recruiting, as they say. Other NCAA football news, ACC, we talked about ACC has adjusted the schedule. So Notre Dame won't be playing. I think they have one more game, but they won't be playing the week before their championship. They're basically in the championship game of the ACC now. Arkansas running back Akeem Boyd has opted out of the rest of the season. Clemson quarterback, Heisman Trophy anointee, Trevor Lawrence, he all but says he's gone after this season. Shane Beamer, the son of Frank Beamer, a legendary Virginia Tech coach, he's supposed to be getting an interview for the South Carolina job. Man, that's a job I'm not sure I'd want. Texas Christian is going to play Louisiana Tech, so they get a 10th game. Their game with SMU couldn't be rescheduled. See, Kevin Warren, Big Ten, you guys should have been on top of this. We shouldn't be having this stuff, all these no contests and crap. Some college basketball news. Oklahoma is finally starting their season, and they've had some COVID delays. Yeah, just a few. Sounds like. So they're finally getting their season underway. And interesting there, they've got a guy that's in the running for, they're going to play Texas San Antonio. But they had a spike in some cases, and so they didn't. They postponed their game against Central Florida last Saturday as well. Florida and Oklahoma mutually agreed to cancel their game for today. Colorado men's basketball pauses activity, so their game against Arizona is off. So, yeah, just that usual stuff. NCAA rankings after only, you know, we're in week two. Gonzaga number one. Baylor number two. Iowa number three. We're talking about how long it's been. I think it was a 2016 or 2017 season. It was December of that season that Iowa was number three. It was the year that Iowa started the Big Ten 7-0. So I think it was 2016-17 season, but I'm not sure. Iowa number three, Wisconsin number four, Illinois number five. Wow. So three Big Ten teams in the top five. Duke at six until last night. They lost to Michigan State. Kansas at seven, Michigan State at eight. Creighton at nine, Houston at 10 of the Big Ten teams. Let's see, Ohio State 23, Rutgers 24. Michigan hasn't lost, but they dropped out. They played some scrawny teams, so they got bounced. But so, yeah, three Big Ten teams in the top five. That ain't going to last, obviously. Jack Nungy from the Hawkeyes. His father passed away last week, so he did not make the trip for their games. Actually, they were home games, but he missed those games. Very sad loss, obviously, but he's back in practice today, so that's good news. Eric from Kafiristan, Eric the Kafir, is in the chat room. He's in the house with T. Bodie and Indy Hawk. Welcome, Eric. You're catching me at the tail end, unfortunately. But, yeah, so that's what's going on in college basketball. So, what do I usually do at this point of the thing? Because we went early today. I'm kind of experimenting. Well, one more story. The wooden watch list has been released. It's no secret that the leader right now, the preemptive favorite is Luka Garza from the Iowa Hawkeyes. Guy is a monster. In his two games so far, he's got 67 points, 22 of 25 shooting. Just lighting it up. 3 of 3 from three-point land. He scored 36 in the first half the other night against Southern. Ended up with 41. He's just absolute, and he's just adding to his game every season. His father, who is, by the way, his father has an awesome head of hair. And if Luka maintains that, he's got good things to look forward to. His father works hard with him during the offseason, coaching him. So, yeah, Luka Garza, other guys, Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State, B.J. Boston from Kentucky, Evan Mobley of USC, Zaire Williams of Stanford. Those are other guys. Joe Wieskamp from Iowa is also on the watch list. Not sure how. Iowa, Kentucky, Stanford, Baylor, Duke, Gonzaga, Illinois, LSU, Tennessee, Villanova and Virginia each have two players on the list. There are 50 on the list right now, so yeah, it's not, you know, anything can happen. Hawks do have a big couple of games coming up. They got Carolina in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, and then they've got Gonzaga in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. For a neutral site, even though it's closer to Iowa City, obviously. Indy Hawkeye made a point in our text chat of saying, and this is what you got to really, Scott Frost has had a tough go of it at Nebraska. And it's not his fault. You know, all those Hawkeye people clapping on the sideline, obviously messed up their whole shtick. The center couldn't snap properly, and it's because of that. T. Bodie points out we also got to play Iowa State. I'm not sure how good their basketball team is right now. Not as good as their football team, I'm pretty sure. Other Big Ten guys on this list, by the way, Ron Harper Jr. at Rutgers. Yes, the son of that Ron Harper. Joey Hauser from Michigan State. His brother Sam ended up at Virginia. They were two guys that were at Marquette. And at Marquette, I think DJ Carton from Ohio State, who the Hawkeyes were in on, he's there now. He's at Marquette now. So yeah, other Iowa Big Ten players. Marcus Carr from Minnesota, Kofi Coburn, and Ayu Dosunmu from Illinois. Joey Hauser at Michigan State, as I mentioned. Trace Jackson Davis in Indiana. Isaiah Livers at Michigan. Nate Rubers at Wisconsin. Yeah, it's a list of 50. I mean, it's not as many people as were in Spinal Tap, but you get the picture. So that's what's happening in basketball. Basketball's early. Hawkeye fans, don't be thinking that we are a shoo-in. I mean, we're ranked number 3 right now, but Big Ten itself is going to be a brutal, brutal conference play this year. Very difficult stuff. But, like I said, it's exciting. I think this team is built better. I think we have better depth. I'm pleasantly surprised with Patrick McCaffrey, the coach's other son. Very pleasantly surprised. And the Murray twins look good. I'm pretty pleased. I think we got the depth, and I think this is a team that's built to go a little further. So let's hope. As far as football, this Saturday, Illinois could be tough. I'm not saying they'll win, but they could be tough. I mean, they're playing with a little bit of pride. Let's put it that way. And then, of course, the game against Wisconsin to finish the season. So if we lose to Illinois, then whatever happens against Wisconsin doesn't really matter. But it would be nice to finish 6-2 before playing on Championship Saturday. So, okay, like I said before, as part of my earlier rant, I want you to think about this in that next 8 minutes, or I won't be around that long as far as because we'll play some music and whatnot. But we really need to start holding the media accountable. As I said, like I said, ESPN with their virtue signaling and some of the stupid stories they run. But we've had how many people now, how many leftist mayors or governors that have given these edicts, these proclamations? You know, as I said, Austin, Texas mayor might be the worst. Literally doing a Facebook Live, telling people to stay home, but this is not the time to relax. Doing it from Cabo San Lucas. But, the Denver mayor, who literally did it and then said, or then flew an hour later or 2 hours later. The media is not covering these things. These aren't coming out on places like Twitter or on conservative chat sites. It's not coming out. You're not seeing it reported by the AP or the New York Times or Washington Post. So we need to hold those leaders accountable, but we need to hold the media accountable. How do we do that? I know a lot of the times it's a local paper for you. I mean, if you live near D.C., so you say, I got to have it. No, you don't. Don't buy the Washington Post. Don't buy it for the crossword. Don't buy it for the articles. Just don't buy it. Don't support Amazon if you're really that much. You know, Jeff Bezos from Amazon is the owner of the Washington Post. Don't support the New York Times. I don't care how nice their magazine section is on Sunday. Don't support it. Don't go to their website. When you see a link, don't go there. Don't buy from these places. Don't watch programs from other television networks. Don't watch CNN for whatever reason. Call them out, though. Be vigorous. Call them out. Call out your leaders. If your local leader is doing this, if your local leader is doing these mandates, and then you see somewhere that he or she has gone to a swanky restaurant or whatever with 50 people, call it out. Don't just talk with your friends. Don't text people about it. Call them out. If you live in Denver or you live in Austin, Texas, call these people out. It's not enough like me to get on radio waves, so to speak, and talk about it. It's not enough to have Vito and Al or Eric and Paul, Usama, Andrew. It's not enough to just have us pointing it out. And the other people, Tim Tapp, great listen on Blog Talk Radio. But it's not enough just to listen to them and be outraged. We have to show our outrage tangibly. call out news people. We should have been calling out. And now Congress did a little bit of it. But damn it, when your local paper does it, get down there with people. Call them. Ask them why. I harken back to years ago, the Orlando Sentinel, of course, didn't cover anything about a mayoral thing, but they covered another guy, the candidate they didn't want. But then they covered all about a local news personality for a competing network or a television network, covered a divorce. Really? Meanwhile, you went after a mayoral candidate, but you completely ignored anything negative about the candidate that you supported. Call your political leaders. Call your congressmen. Tell them that the news media shouldn't be given a pass like this. You know, people talk about breaking up Facebook, breaking up Google or whatever. Absolutely right. Look, the First Amendment does not cover the right to lie or to willfully misinform and manipulate. It doesn't cover that. When they start telling you, oh, you know, like I said, oh, we had the Second Amendment, that was when they had muskets. Like I said, the internet, same thing. When the First Amendment was constructed, there was no internet. Does that mean that the First Amendment is null and void? No. Any more than the Second Amendment is null and void. But call these people out. Call out your leaders. Call out your local news. It's a good way to rant, if nothing else. Hey, folks, thanks for being here. Like I said, I mentioned it before. I'm sort of going to 5:30 instead of 6 and going till 7. There's another show on Blog Talk Radio, Tim Tapp. It's called Tap Into Truth. It's a great show. I like listening to it sometimes. But I know that there are people that like listening to Tim, and so rather than keep conflicting, it's better to encourage people to go over there afterwards after being on the show, because Tim runs a great show. So, like I said, for the next few weeks anyway, we're going to go at 5:30 to 7. Meantime, I'm going to send you off with a little Thanksgiving ditty, but it works for Christmas too. Have a good night, folks. Be safe. Go with God.
Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through white and drifted snow. Over the river and through the woods, oh how the wind does blow. It stings the toes and bites the nose as over the ground we go.
Oh, come on. What am I talking about? Let's go with a good song. Let's go with a really, 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 really good song. Good night, folks. I want to thank T Bodie, Indy Hawk, and Eric for being in their chat room. Hawkeye Mike and Brother Tommy were on the phone. Others that were listening, thank you very much. Have a great week, and Steelers win, according to Mrs. Hank. Have a good one, folks.